The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips.
With voice navigation, seamless connections to services like Be My Eyes and Aira, text reading, and a whole lineup of other smart features, the Meta Ray-Ban glasses have quickly become one of the most talked about accessibility tools in the BVI community. If you've been on the fence about picking up a pair, this episode might help you decide. This month, I'm sitting down with Richard, an avid user and enthusiastic supporter of the smart glasses, to hear how they have changed his day-to-day life. I'm also talking with Rivka, a security consultant who's going to dig into the privacy and security concerns that come with wearing these glasses in public and what trade-offs you might be making when you rely on this impressive piece of tech. First up is Richard. Richard, welcome to the program.
Welcome.
And one of the first things I like to do is find out a little bit about the person that we're going to be talking with today. So my first question to you, who is Richard?
I'm 74 years old. I've been legally blind for 36 years. I've had sight challenges all my life. My last career was owning a low vision aid store in Illinois for 10 years.
So I'm kind of curious, before you started using the glasses, what were some of the biggest challenges you faced when navigating and accessing visual information?
Having access to a large array of the latest products, I have to say that this is the best one I've ever had in my career and life of being low vision.
And what is your daily tech setup? And by that, I'm curious, what role do the Meta Ray-Ban glasses play in your routine?
Glasses have been able to make me hands-free on a daily tasks, such as answering phone calls, texts, and the lot.
Okay, and are there any other things that you use the glasses for?
I've used it for Be My Eyes. I've used it for texting back and forth, phone calls, which I never have to get my phone out anymore. I've asked it numerous questions, and it answers. I've even asked it for the stock quotations for the Dow Jones.
Nice. What made you decide to go with the Meta Ray-Ban glasses in the first place?
My wife suggested it. She had seen it. This was been almost 2.5 years now. And she suggested I try it, and I did, and it opened up my whole life.
That's incredible. And it probably made things a lot easier for you to do on your own and make it so you felt more independent, right?
Correct.
That's always important because what I think one of the biggest things that we as low vision people and blind people in general, we want to be independent. We don't want to rely on other people.
That's correct.
Do you remember the first moment when you thought, okay, these might be a really good thing for me?
First time I put them on and asked it to make a phone call to my wife and went right through.
Oh, that's very cool. So walk me through, if you would, a typical situation when the glasses make a meaningful difference. And by that, I mean something that used to be difficult but is now a lot easier.
A lot easier for going to a restaurant and reading a menu instead of getting my small CCTV out, getting it out. Making reading still line by line. Now I can do almost a whole page at a time. And I thought that was, cats meow.
So when you're using it to read a menu at a restaurant.
That's correct.
Yeah. When you're doing that, what is that process like? Walk us through the process of what you have to do to be able to read that menu for someone who is not familiar with the Meta Ray-Ban glasses.
Couldn't make it any more simple. You just hold up the page. If the page was not correctly, it will tell you. But if it is, it'll say, do you want me to take a picture of the page? And I'll say, yes, takes a picture and reads it from top to bottom.
That's amazing. And then if you want, I believe you can also go back and ask questions, right?
That is correct.
And kind of narrow down the focus of what it is you're trying to learn.
That is correct. And if it didn't, if I'm reading a menu that usually the appetizers and whatever whatnots are, first, of course, I'll go to the next page for, entrees and sandwiches. And that's usually common sense for most menus.
Okay. So I'm going to kind of jump to the glasses AI part of it. And one of the big things about the glasses is that they have the ability to describe what's around you, correct?
That is correct.
So here's my question. Are there any particular environments where it shines or struggles?
I was at a museum with a couple of my grandkids and my son. I didn't really want to walk around a lot. I was in one room, and all I had to do was go turn my head a little bit, and it told me exactly each exhibit, read it to me, what it was, read the outside of it, and described everything to me for, I think it was like 10 or 12 exhibits in the room.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah, and it is a godsend.
It does kind of lead me into my next question, which is, what has been your experience with the glasses and object recognition and scene descriptions? Have there been any standout successes? You just mentioned the museum, but have there been any standout successes or funny misfires?
Not many misfires. Knock on wood. I mean, I have a couple friends that have them, and they've had challenges, but 90% of the time that I'm looking at something, it'll tell me everything that I'm looking at, from right down to if I'm at PT or something like that, tell me exactly what's in the room.
And that is very helpful to people like us who are blind or low vision.
That's correct.
So my next question is going to be about traveling, because you do like to travel, right?
I used to not, but I'm kind of pushed into it, yes.
So how do the glasses fit into mobility and specifically, traveling, crossing streets, navigating unfamiliar spaces? How do they fit into all that?
Crossing the streets, I'm still old school that I will never accept if it's a lights or a four-way stop, I will do it. It is a little bit too far sometimes for the stop lights to change. But when I'm walking, and if I don't use Be My Eyes, it'll tell me what store I'm at or what address I'm at.
How do the glasses work alongside your phone? Because the glasses are, what's the word I want to use, integral to the phone. They kind of have to have the phone to work. So how do the glasses work alongside your phone or other assistive tools? And have you found that they have replaced any tools or added another layer of things you got to worry about?
No, it hasn't done that. They come with a case that it charges in the case. When you close them up, put them in the case, they do shut off. They're not on anymore. When they do, you do put them on, you'll hear a couple clicking sounds, and it'll say the battery level, and you can hear the tone that it's hooked up. If it is not hooked up to Bluetooth, then it tells you to check your app. I'd say 95% of the time, I just close them up, redo it, and it recalculates it, and I never even have to touch the phone. I usually wear a vest, have it in my vest pocket, and when I'm out and have the glasses on, I very seldom pick up that phone. Very seldom use it.
That's awesome. And if I understood you correctly, when you put the glasses on, open them up and put them on, do they automatically come on or do you have to turn them on?
No, they automatically come on.
Okay, and then automatically pair with a phone.
That's correct.
Okay, so that's pretty simple.
Simple as can be.
Are there any accessibility features you wish were more customizable or more deeply integrated?
The only one I found, which is if you call, okay, you call WNC Source and you want extension 147, you can't do that. So that I found is sometimes it's not all the time, but I'd say, you know, once or twice a week you have that problem.
That's not too bad.
No.
So I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but you're using the glasses and you've probably been in this situation. Wearing a camera on your face can raise questions. How do you navigate privacy for yourself and the people around you?
I've had very few people know that they cannot hear me. I've had a person when I was very close to them and I answered the call and I had to explain to him about the glasses. And he says, I can't even hear the other person on the other line.
Using the glasses with a phone call, do the glasses have speakers in them? Or do you use like a little headset or something in conjunction with the glasses? How does that work?
No, nothing, no headset whatsoever. The right temple is your speaker, your volume controls. And when the phone call comes in, it'll ring, of course, on the phone. All I'll say is Meta, answer the call.
Sounds simple enough.
Yes, sir.
What is the one thing the glasses have let you do independently now that used to require help?
Let's say being hands-free. I mean, being not even for help, but for my independence, I don't have to fiddle with the phone, clear it, you know, try to hopefully I didn't lose the call. And my independence of going into a store, reading a label, seeing what's, instead of asking somebody for a price or anything else.
You can either pick up something and have it scan it and look for the price tag, or you can just, you know, look at the price tag that's on the shelf and say, you know, and have it read it to you.
That's so, correct. That's correct.
So that's awesome. Have they changed how you feel about exploring new places or trying new tasks?
They have done for the new tasks, because I go out on my own anyways, but even maneuvering through an airport or anything, you've got Be My Eyes and you've got to tell you, get a live person and say, okay, well, lift your head up. Instead of pointing the phone somewhere and you're walking, trying with your cane, pointing the phone somewhere in the sky this way, all you have to do is lift your head up a little bit. And they'll say, okay, I read this sign. You're at gate such and such. Which way are you going?
Okay. If you could hand Meta a short list of improvements that you would like to see, what would be at the top?
I'd say style of the glasses. I'd say a little bit more styling. And also plain glass. Their plain glass is not, it's still got a little tint or a blue blocker. And you don't need that if you're going to be reading a computer and stuff anyways. Mm-hmm. And I would say more of a clear glass for people who don't want the tint or the transition.
Transition lenses. Do you know if you can put prescription lenses in them?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
There's not many people that do it, but you can do it.
I know you can get them at Walmart, Sam's Club, and just about any place that sells glasses.
Correct. A lot of the optical places don't carry them because I don't think they're making a lot of money on them. So I don't think the optical places are pushing them. Sam's, the optician, is getting trained on them and she's selling them. And I know nationwide, not for changing the lenses, but the Sunglass Huts, all the managers were trained for people with low vision on these glasses.
That's good to know. So for someone considering the glasses, what's the one piece of advice you'd give them?
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Even if you're not tech savvy, of course, let somebody help you put the app on the phone. But as I say, I'd say maybe a half a dozen times in the last 6 months, that I had to unhook it and rehook it from the app.
Okay. And you mentioned the app. I just want to touch base on this real quick. There is a component app. Do you have to have the app to use the glasses?
On the phone. Okay. Yes.
On the phone.
Yes, it's on the phone, the Meta app, and or whatever you're carrying around, if you're carrying your own. You know. But, I mean, that's the easiest thing to carry it around with.
Oh, yeah. I was because I was just thinking, you know, if all it is an app, I wonder if you could do it on a tablet.
As long, I could, but you're not going to walk around with your tablet all day long.
Well, some people do that anyway. So, and plus, you got to make sure the tablet has an internet connection. But it's a weird, quirky option.
It is, but knock on wood, I love it.
Is there anything about the glasses that you would like to say that I may have missed?
I haven't gone into taking pictures yet, which I know it can do, and I'm. You know, I could be a lot techier than I am, but I can't. I guess it does. You can take pictures, but I have to figure out how to send them back to my iPad or something, which it probably won't do because I cannot see them on my phone.
Okay. Well, with that, I am going to say thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you, Chris, and good talking to you, sir.
Tech Tips is on the North Carolina Reading Service.
Now we are going to be turning the tables a little bit and talking about the security and privacy issues associated with the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. And to talk with me about that is a cybersecurity consultant, Rivka. Rivka, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we're just going to dive right in. And first question, what should a new user understand about how the glasses capture and process images or audio, especially when it comes to what gets sent to the Meta servers?
So a big picture is when you take videos and photos for your gallery, they're stored on your glasses. So just quick click, it's on your glasses. You then can import them to your phone. What's different is that when you use Meta AI features like object recognition or scene description, those images and audio get sent to Meta servers up on the internet for cloud processing. It's important to understand that anything it sees in that video has now been uploaded. And with AI, it's now going to tell you what it sees or describe to you. And the glasses then are contacting between the glasses and cloud servers to help you understand or describe what's been going on. Meta does take steps to remove key identifiable information, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't protect yourself.
How do you explain the privacy implications of wearing a camera in public to someone who's considering buying the glasses for accessibility?
So you're not just wearing assistive tech. It is very useful for that. But you're now wearing a camera and it's pointed away from you at other people or at whatever you're looking at. People can't tell if what's being captured. They don't know if it's them or if it's what's behind them. And there's a little light on the front of it that glows white when you're taking a picture or recording. But you might accidentally get things like kids' faces, private conversations, PIN pads and your credit card numbers, even medical information on the screen. Meta's guidelines say respect people's preferences, stop recording if someone asks, and power off in private spaces like doctor's offices, bathroom, school, and even places of worship.
So with that in mind, are there specific settings or permissions a new user should lock down right away to feel more secure while using the glasses?
Absolutely. Think of this as your first day security checklist. Meta's privacy settings page is your main reference. High priority actions would be turning off any extra data sharing or improve experience. Those really aren't set up for you to understand what's going out there. Check permissions on your phone, limit access to your location, your microphone, even photos and media, so that apps don't overreach what's going on.
Anything else?
Yeah, you can enable verified sessions if it's available. Meta offers this opt-in sessions that requires identity confirmation via your phone when you're using hands-free features. So for things like, you know, hey, Meta, it is saying, do you want to opt in to use your voice recognition, or do you want to opt in for some other type, a thumbprint or something in the app? That would add a layer of security so that when somebody's walking by you, they can't just say, hey, Meta, order 500 pizzas.
You've touched on this earlier, and I kind of want to revisit it just a little bit. What kinds of situations or environments might make a new user rethink when and where they wear the glasses?
Meta's guidelines say they list sensitive spaces where you should turn these glasses off, like a doctor's office, a clinic, a hospital, bathrooms, changing rooms, locker rooms, schools, places with children, places of worship, anywhere people expect privacy. But from a security lens, please add in checkouts and payment areas. People may share personal stories that they don't want going out up to the cloud. So a really simple rule is, if the environment is about health, money, kids, or personal stuff that you wouldn't share to somebody next door to you or out to the entire internet, turn your glasses off.
If someone is planning on buying the glasses mainly for assistive features, what privacy trade-offs should they be prepared to accept? And which ones are non-negotiable for you?
Acceptable, if chosen, some images and audio of surroundings will be sent to Meta's servers. Okay, so if you go to the bus stop and you're like, hey, help me look on the bus to see what the next three stops are before I get off, everything around you that you look at or that the glasses are facing are going to be uploaded to the AI features to give you a response. People nearby may be captured in those images, even if they're not in focus. And Meta does collect basic device and usage data to keep their entire system running. From a security lens, non-negotiables, the captured LED has to stay visible and functional. Any attempt to hide it crosses into that secret recording area. That's really cringy. Meta states covering and disable it will automatically disable the camera. You must understand and learn how to power those glasses off. The physical power switch is your ultimate boundary, and several places, stores, retail spaces, will ask you to cut those off. Don't record in sensitive spaces. We've talked about health, bathrooms, schools, worship, therapy. No matter how helpful your tech is, unfortunately, those aren't safe spaces to have the recording there. You also don't want to use your glasses to capture PINs, passwords, other people's private info. Even seeing the receipt on the person in front of you, it's called shoulder surfing, they may be buying something that is really personal to them, and they don't want that information going out to, you know, to the cloud and to AI. That honest stance is, if you're using Meta glasses for accessibility, it's okay to accept that some of your environment will be sent to Meta services when you ask for help. It's not okay to hide recording light, ignore any sensitive spaces, or pretend the camera isn't there. Your independence matters, and that's very important, but so does everybody else's privacy.
Even though you were not using the glasses to record video or audio, but you've got them, you're wearing them, and they're on, are they still recording audio and video, or are they still shooting audio and video and sending it to the Meta servers, even though you're physically not recording anything?
So this is a one of those crossover areas. And what I mean is, when you are using any type of technology these days where you say, hey, Meta, it has to be listening for you to say that, to engage it. You're not pushing a button. So there is some type of listening and waiting for those signals. You don't know what is going on up in the cloud or where that information is going. So it may be listening to all of your conversations, everything around you. You're not recording. It was not intended. And Meta says they're not doing that. But it has been recorded in the past with other companies that for those types of services, those voice-activated services to work, they have to hear what the words are.
There's one more thing I want to cover, and that is the cloud. For we all hear the term. Some of us know what it means. Some of us don't. So for those of us who do not have any clue what the cloud is, other than those big white puffy things in the sky, what is a cloud when it comes to computers?
Cloud processing is like having a supercomputer offsite that's doing heavy lifting. Your little glasses are like a little lightweight laptop. They're portable and they're awesome, but they're not for big complex tasks. So when you ask them to identify an object or describe a scene, even answer a question, they actually outsource that information. They call in backup and they're like, hey, come help me. And they send that up to a high performance computer somewhere else. You send it a snapshot or a voice clip. It'll analyze the information using their advanced software and equipment. And then it sends back the answer in seconds. So that information going to the cloud means your glasses are sharing pieces of your environment with Meta's servers. It's just outsourcing.
Is there anything else you would like to mention about this that I may have missed?
I appreciate you taking time to review this, and I want to leave people with one piece of information, and that is no matter what you're doing, whether you're using glasses or something other type of technology, even when you're alone by yourself without any technology, please be aware of your surroundings. There's always people shoulder surfing, listening to your conversations, and the only way to protect yourself is to take that information to private areas when you're talking on the phone or you're talking with somebody else.
Thank you very much for your time. It was appreciated.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking it.
To learn more about the Meta Ray-Ban Smart Glasses or pick up a pair for yourself, there are a few great places to start. Meta's official site has a full breakdown of features and accessibility tools, plus demos of what the glasses can do. You can also check out the Ray-Ban online store for styles, pricing, and availability. If you prefer the hands-on approach, Sam's Club, Best Buy, and Dick's Sporting Goods are good places to start. The glasses are also available on Amazon as well. I would like to thank both Richard and Rivka for being on the program this month. Their time was greatly appreciated. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you've enjoyed it. If there's something you'd like covered in a future episode, send an email to techtipspodcast@gmail.com. I'm Chris Skidmore for the North Carolina Reading Service. Tech Tips is available online by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have questions or comments about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org or give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.